Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this is crazy. Earlier this morning, I thought, you know, I'm going to check in with our friend Peter Christian at a KGVO radio in Missoula, because I had a busy week last week. Big thanks to David Noble for covering down on the show Friday. I was posted up at the beautiful Meadow Lake Golf Course in Columbia Falls. That's where the Governor's Cup was taking place by the Montana Chamber of Commerce. Now, the governor didn't golf. I didn't golf. But nonetheless, getting some work done. I got a chance to record some interviews with some folks and that were there for the Governor's Cup. And so we'll share some of that, some of those conversations with you here this morning. Take your phone calls and much more. But if you didn't hear the news on Friday, Governor Greg Gianforte issued an executive order declaring a disaster in both Missoula and Mineral counties. As you heard last week, I mean, severe thunderstorm pushed through Missoula in particular. Wind speeds of 81 miles per hour, lightning, heavy rain, and then gusts up to 109 miles per hour on Mount Sentinel as well. So the governor declared a disaster for both Missoula and Mineral counties to help them respond and recover from that thunderstorm. But these numbers are just crazy. I checked in with Peter Christian. I said, hey, how is the power in the storm recovery situation in Missoula this morning, because entire power lines were just completely toppled and more, and massive trees toppled. Peter told me this a little earlier this morning. Power has been mostly restored. A large problem was water. Power was off to the pumps that send water to people's homes. And so that was finally restored on Saturday. But you look at all the trees in the Garden City of Missoula, and Peter told me this, fully one third of the over 40,000 trees in Missoula may eventually have to come down because of the damage from that storm. One third of the over 40,000 trees in Missoula may eventually have to come down as a result of that. Wow. So that's a big number. A lot of work to recover from that. So thanks to Peter Christian for some of the insight there from on the ground. I mentioned I got a chance to catch up with Montana Governor Greg Gianforte. I'll try to roll that conversation for you here coming up right after our first break here on Montana Talks. We talked about fire season. We got his reaction. I think it's the first time I've gotten a chance to ask him about Joe Biden withdrawing from the presidential race and Kamala Harris leading this what appears to be successful coup. So we'll hear what the governor has to say about that and more right after this quick break right here on Montana Talks. And then after that, we'll have the phone lines open for you if you got something you want to talk about. 406-294-0970. And, of course, you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. So we'll get into the phone calls after my chat with the governor.
Talk.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No thanks, I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, all right. We'll just wait on that audio. I was going to have our producer roll the audio from in his studio there, but I'm not hearing it in here, which probably tells me that you're not hearing it in there. All right, yeah, we'll share this audio of Governor Greg Gianforte here later this hour to the show. My studio computer just kind of needed to restart on me there as I was just about ready to play the audio for you with Governor Greg Gianforte. So let's jump into some of the other topics here first this morning. This is a story that's on our Montana Talks website right now. So last Wednesday, I think it was, we had a great phone call from Kyle Schmock. Kyle Schmock works for the majority in the state Senate. And so he's in the Capitol every day. He's reading the news every day. But Kyle Schmock, he was first to share this news via X.com. Former Montana Supreme Court Justice James Nelson said this when it came to the assassination attempt on President Donald J. Trump. He said, quote, "Trump's chickens were finally coming home to roost, finally reaping what he had sown." And this former Supreme Court justice, who is still heavily relied upon when they cite his opinions in their Supreme Court rulings, by the way, said, quote, "No thoughts and prayers from me. Know that being shot at was the blowback from the bad karma." So think about this. Basically, you have a former Supreme Court justice who is still cited as some sort of expert opinion by the current liberal majority on the Montana Supreme Court. He's also frequently published by newspapers and online blogs here in Montana. And for some reason, the Missoula Current, which is a blog run by a former spokesperson for the Montana Democratic Party, actually published James Nelson's latest column, where he basically celebrated this assassination attempt on President Donald J. Trump. And Kyle Schmock made a great point last week when he called into the show in a tweet sent out via X.com. He said, quote, "Our current Montana Supreme Court still upholds and refuses to reevaluate partisan hack job decisions that were authored by this violence-endorsing nut." So that's the story we talked about last Wednesday. But think about what has happened in the last few days, or shall we say, what has not happened in the last several days. Did any Montana news outlets do a story about that, about this outrageous, violent rhetoric that was published by a former Supreme Court justice here in Montana who is still highly influential in the Montana media and in the Montana Democrat Party? Has the current leftist mob that is in charge of our Montana Supreme Court said anything or been asked by anybody to say anything about this violent rhetoric from a former Montana Supreme Court justice? Basically, we've got nothing but silence out of the left-wing majority running the Montana Supreme Court after one of their own celebrated the assassination attempt on President Donald Trump. Now, I haven't seen nor heard if anybody on the current mob majority on the Montana Supreme Court has publicly condemned Nelson's rhetoric. But Corey Swanson, who is running for Chief Justice on the Montana Supreme Court, had the courage to call Nelson out. In an op-ed of his own, it was published by the Bozeman Daily Chronicle, Swanson says this: "This is a time for justice, not vengeance, and we should all say a prayer for our country and our people." He also called out his opponent in the race for refusing to condemn Nelson's violent rhetoric. So Corey Swanson is a candidate for Chief Justice on the Montana Supreme Court. His opponent, who is a very liberal judge, has been endorsed by this Justice Nelson. Corey Swanson says this: So while I am shocked and dismayed that former Justice Nelson is celebrating Trump's near death, I'm more shocked that my opponent, Jeremiah Lynch, has accepted Nelson's support and failed to condemn these inexcusable statements. Lynch owes Montanans an explanation of what type of Chief Justice he truly hopes to be. Why can't Lynch condemn the violent rhetoric of Justice Nelson? Why can't any of these other members of the Montana Supreme Court, especially those that are in charge of the mob that currently runs the Montana Supreme Court, condemn these remarks from Justice Nelson? Montana House Majority Leader Sue Vinton out of Billings added this about former Justice Nelson. This is not the first time that this former justice has spewed hateful rhetoric. What a sad and bitter person he must be. Speaker of the House Matt Regeer out of Kalispell also pointed out how influential Nelson is with the current majority on the Montana Supreme Court. In an op-ed for the Daily Interlake, he wrote, quote, even worse, a majority of the Montana Supreme Court judges are also aligned with the same political agenda. The Supreme Court judges consistently sabotage the process in Montana law, erroneously ruling in line with their Democrat doctrines, such as their support for unlimited abortion, disgust for voter integrity laws, and radical views on global warming. Why have none of these justices spoken out? Better yet, why hasn't the Montana media asked them about it?
May apply.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Three.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. I got my computer successfully rebooted so I can share the audio of my conversation with the governor at the Governor's Cup on Friday morning. Even though I took the day off, still put in a little work for you. But anyway, we'll get to that here in just a second. But we do have a caller on the phone lines. Jolene Crum is a candidate for House District 64 in the Gallatin Valley. And Jolene, thanks for calling in. It was great to see you in Bozeman recently when we did the show out on the town. What's on your mind this morning?
Hi, good morning, Aaron. Yeah, I just wanted to let your audience know that there's a really great resource from put together by Montana Free Press. It's a voter guide for this year. So if you just search that up on the internet, you'll be taken to like the different House district races. For example, I am running against an incumbent, and his voting record is on this website, and it's just really great because you can look through different issues and see how the incumbent voted and see if you agree with how he voted, and if you don't like that, you know, you have another option on the ballot. But it's people really need to see this resource and understand that it's available because it just shows voting record for everybody that's going to be on the ballot this fall.
Yeah, and of course, the Montana Free Press is a very liberal-leaning news outfit. But hey, if it's a good voter guide, it's a good voter guide. I mean, if it's just the facts and just the voter, you know, the voter information, hey, you can judge for yourself, right?
Yeah, and they also had sent out an email to everyone, and if you filled out their questions, you can click back and forth to see how the candidates answered those questions. So, like, for example, I don't have a voting record, but because I filled out those questions, people can kind of get a feel for how I think and what I think is important. So it's also a great resource for people that haven't been to Helena. They have an opportunity to kind of answer some questions there.
Yeah. So what are the biggest differences between you and your opponent? I know you're obviously running as a Republican, but you're in a very blue-leaning district. But, you know, things are getting so crazy right now that I think there's a lot of folks out there who may have, you know, may have voted Democrat in recent elections who might now be saying, look, it's getting way too crazy out there. We got to put a stop to this nonsense. So there's probably some people that, you know, in places like Bozeman that may consider voting Republican for probably the first time ever.
Well, in 2020, I ran against this same person. He wasn't an incumbent then, but it's basically almost the same district. That was House District 65 then, but I ran on a medical freedom platform. I hit 1,500 doors with some information from Children's Health Defense just because I was concerned about the COVID shots, because my degree is in biotech and I've spent some time in the pharmaceutical research lab. Anyway, so, you know, medical freedom for sure is a big difference between the incumbent and myself, and property rights is a big difference. I'm a realtor. If you look at the property rights voting record on the incumbent, he doesn't stand strong on that idea. So, you know, I think it just goes back to that discussion about, you know, does this piece of legislation lead us to freedom or does it lead us to bondage? And that's just kind of a basic, like, where is this taking us kind of question.
Yeah, no, good point. And look, you were right to question that shot, especially being forced on children and that's just been proven out here. We knew you were right then, but you've been proven right now to question that being forced, especially on children. Jolene Crump, thanks for calling in, and good to hear that's a good resource out there for folks to, you know, at least look at the voting records, etc. Because even, you know, for folks who haven't gotten a chance to hear what Tom Burnett had to say about Bozeman, he said Bozeman is as radical as Portland, Oregon right now. And they want to use anti-development policies to even target agriculture. You know, agriculture is still very strong in Gallatin Valley, but the radical left in the city of Bozeman is even trying to target agriculture with their anti-development policies. So I'll get a write-up from Tom Burnett on our Montana Talks website here later this morning where you can read about it. All right, Jolene, thanks for the call. We'll get back to your phone calls here in just a few minutes, but I've now got it queued up, our conversation with Governor Greg Gianforte at the Governor's Cup. I was making the point, you know, he's not much of a golfer. In fact, he didn't even golf on Friday, but he was there to get some business done. But he did go fishing in another Governor's Cup. You actually did partake in the Governor's Cup and the walleye fishing tournament on Fort Peck Lake. You've done it now for, I think, a few years. How'd it go this go around?
Well, it was a tough bite this year, but it's great. It's what a great resource Fort Peck is. So this is my fourth year fishing it. 37th year of the Gov Cup walleye tournament. There's never been another governor that's ever fished in it. So I just thought it was time to put a little Gov back in the Gov Cup. But I'm thrilled to be here at this Governor's Cup. I think it's the chamber does such a great job bringing the business community together. We had the Sandbagger reception last night. Over 1,000 people networking. I think it's probably the best business networking event of the year in Montana is that Sandbagger reception.
When we caught up with Todd O'Hare, the president of the Montana Chamber of Commerce, and we talked about just the strength of Montana's economy. You know, we've got some national economic headwinds, obviously, especially given everything that's coming from Biden and Kamala Harris and Tester and crew, but at least with the strength of Montana's economy and really a $200 billion difference, red states to blue states was recently documented.
Yeah, so people are recognizing that Montana's open for business. I ran on a very simple campaign platform, which was more good paying jobs so we stop exporting our kids and our grandkids and protecting our way of life. And businesses across the country are recognizing this in these highly regulated blue states that are overtaxing people. They want some freedom, and they're finding it here in Montana. We've had some big decisions. Vacom moving to Lewistown, 500 jobs. Brixtel Defense, Glendive, 350 jobs. Just recently cut the ribbon on a $100 million investment in Billings at that new manufacturing plant there. We have a lot of companies in the pipeline. Entrepreneurs want to be where they can keep the fruits of their volunteer labor. And the great benefit is that we get good paying jobs and Montana's prosper.
In fact, it was 1 year ago at this very Governor's Cup that I got to meet Andy Mansour from Brickstill Defense for the first time. And he said, well, keep it under wraps, but we got something coming. And then you announced it, the big news for Glendive, Montana. You know, it was great last night. You know, it's been smoky. It's been hot here in the Flathead. And then that cool breeze came in and it pushed the smoke out and brought in some cooler temperatures. And then it was like the skies just opened up last night.
Well, it is beautiful to be here in Kalispell. But I will say, we've had 900 wildfires so far this year, more than half of them human caused. So I just, as we get out and recreate here through the rest of fire season, just be careful out there, folks. I mean, just chains on the RV or boat, fireworks, firearms, anything can start a fire when the woods are as dry as they are.
I had some friends near Butte, and they said, man, these aerial firefighters, they just saved our house. And that fire, there was an aggressive initial attack on it, and it kept it to, I think, you know, to a very small footprint. And it's that aggressive attack that really is needed, especially when you have hot, dry conditions.
Right. And this has been our policy since I came into office, aggressive attack on fires. As long as we don't put wildfire firefighters at risk. And then we need to manage our forests. We got too much fuel. That's why we've prioritized reducing the fuel load. And the result's been great. Last year, 96% of the fires under state control kept to 10 acres or less. We'll continue to fight these fires aggressively because we like the blue skies.
Speaking of aerial firefighters, I thought it was interesting. There's an event, you know, we're talking here Friday morning, of course, but Saturday night, there's a big event here in the Flathead. And Tim Sheehy, that Navy SEAL Republican Senate candidate, was supposed to be the keynote speaker, but he got called up as he's now a reserve aerial firefighter. They called up the reserves. He's taken to the skies. I mean, this guy just continues to answer the call to duty, and so he's up there fighting to, you know, save homes and save lives right now as we speak, I imagine.
Yeah, so I'm so proud of the work he's done. I mean, his whole life has been a life of service. 5 tours of active duty, wounded in action 3 times, building businesses, mostly with veterans here, creating good jobs in Montana, and now he's willing to step up and serve us in the Senate. He's got my full support.
What a bunch of crazy news out of Washington. Every day it seems like there's something crazy going on. Joe Biden officially withdrawing from the race. I listened to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu give an incredible speech to Congress, and then that same night it just seemed like Joe Biden is just bitterly clinging to the presidency. But what's the alternative? I mean, Kamala Harris has some crazy positions when it comes to anti-fracking, anti-beef, you name it.
Yeah, she doesn't want you to eat red meat. She has proposed buying back guns. You know, it's just, this is absolutely the wrong direction. We've seen the train wreck that Joe Biden has been for this country. Harris has been there the whole time. It's going to be Biden plus if Harris gets elected. And the crazy thing is, my opponent in my race was an advisor to Biden. Harris also wants to take their guns.
Yeah. He got paid $150 an hour by the state of California to testify on behalf of their gun confiscation, their gun ban. It was crazy. Yeah, thanks for reminding me. I almost forget you even have an opponent at times. So your Democrat opponent in the governor's race. I mean, what's he doing? It's like he's filing frivolous complaints with the Commissioner of Political Practices Office. One got dismissed just upon immediate inspection. It's like, yeah, this is absurd. He's a gun grabber. He's part of the climate crazy lawsuits. What are they thinking with this guy?
Well, I think I am proud of the fact that Montana has more firearms and ammunition manufacturers than per capita than any other state in the country. And we're attracting more. We're going and approaching these firms because they're good manufacturing jobs in blue states and saying, hey, do you want to move back to America? And what people need to know is I'm going to protect the Second Amendment and Montana's rights to keep and bear arms. I have an A rating from the NRA. I've been endorsed by the Montana Shooting Sports Association. My opponent was a gun advisor to Biden and has an F rating from the NRA.
All right, let's hold it right there. And just a couple of minutes left of this conversation after this, and then we'll open the phones.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
What are the consequences of no new farm bill? That's a question many are asking. And the farm bill is already a year late. The stakes are high and time is running out. The American Farm Bureau has released its market intel analysis of the consequences of not finishing the legislation and adding another extension of the 2018 Farm Bill this fall. While crop insurance is a permanent program, it does need improvements, farmers say, to make it more affordable. Plus, the fixed statutory reference prices that were set in 2014 don't account for unforeseen market forces like the exceptional inflation in recent years, the report adds. Also, by delaying the Farm Bill another year, Congress would be delaying help that could slow the consolidation rate of dairy farms. The report concluded, saying the bill also has a chance to increase funding and enhance U.S. food security as well. Last week, just under 200,000 head of cattle were marketed out of Billings, Montana on the Northern Livestock Video Auction sale. While things were very strong the first part of the week, prices a little bit weaker there on that last day of the sale, but as they are, prices still impressive. The 4.5 to 5 weight steers sold from $3.37 up to $3.84, with the 5 to 5.5 weights $3.01 to $3.70. 5.5 to 6 weights, $2.92 to $3.50, with the 6 to 6.5 weight steers priced at $2.84 up to $3.41. I'm Lane Northlund.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I got about 2 minutes left of my conversation with Governor Greg Gianforte at the Governor's Cup in Kalispell and the Flathead over on Friday and over parts of the weekend. And then we'll get into your phone calls, 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about, whether it's a state story here in Montana or one of the big national news stories, I know there's a lot of controversy out there. People are just outraged following this outright mockery of Christianity and the mockery by these drag queens of the Last Supper that took place as part of the opening ceremony for the Olympics. Absolute evil on display, if you ask me. And it shows how not only the decline that we're seeing in America, but it shows the decline of really of broader Western civilization, the forced decline of Western civilization. And when people talk about transforming America into something else, they're also trying to transform Western civilization into something else as well. And that's what was on display at the opening ceremony of the Olympics. NBC Montana had this headline: U.S. leaders denounce drag queen Last Supper parody at the Olympics opening ceremony. We can talk about that and more. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. You know, one of the things is the governor and I were talking about, about how Tim Sheehy is not only the U.S. Senate candidate for Republicans this November, not only is he a Navy SEAL veteran, but he's an aerial firefighter. Now, he stepped down as CEO of his aerial firefighting business so that he could focus full time on the Senate race. But he told us before, look, if these fires, you know, keep breaking out, they may need to call up their reserves, which includes him. And that's exactly what happened last week. He stepped away from the campaign trail so he could literally take flight to save your homes, to save your lands. Here's a message he shared on Facebook.
Got in late last night. We're dispatching right now. Devil's Brigade, 285, named after Montana's own 1st Special Forces
Commando Unit. We're seeing unprecedented levels of fire activity across the West. Our crews are timing out, so I got called in to fly some reserve, which I'm not complaining about. So evacuation orders in place. We got to help some people out. Time to go to work, baby.
There you go. He's taken to the air, not the airwaves, for the campaign, taken to the air to save homes, save lives for a dangerous job. I don't Did John Tester ever thank him for that service? I know he's bashed his military service. Did John Tester ever thank Tim Sheehy for his aerial firefighting service? Yeah, didn't think so. Didn't think so. All right, here's more of our conversation with Governor Greg Gianforte. And then we'll jump right back into your phone calls here in about 2 minutes, I think, is all.
It seems like Republicans and conservatives are uniting, if not already united, here in Montana for the and nationally for the fight ahead, really with, what, 100 or so days left until Election Day. I think a lot of, you know, a lot of conservatives out there, they don't realize, like, okay, yeah, you can sweep it all and win it all, but if you don't stay united and stay focused, you can lose it all, too, very quickly a few years down the road. And so that unity and then delivering once again in the next legislative session is so important.
Yeah, and I was so proud of the Republican Party at the National Convention because that was the word that characterized that event was unity. President Trump, did a great job. All the other speakers, Vivek, Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis, they were all there speaking with one voice. And this public service, it's a team sport. We need everybody. I can't get my job done without the legislature. I'm proud of what we've accomplished over the last two sessions. If I have the pleasure to serve four more years, I'll have two more sessions. That's two more bites at the apple to lower taxes, reduce regulation, create more good-paying jobs, create an environment where the private sector can create those jobs. So we got to work together.
Well, Governor, great to see you. Anything else you want to tell folks across Montana?
Well, I would just say, again, it is wildfire season. When you're out in the woods, be careful. You can protect our forests and keep property and people safe.
Governor, great to see you. Have fun out there.
All right. Yeah, that was a conversation with the governor at the Governor's Cup. That was Friday morning while the great David Noble was filling in live. I was recording some conversations there at the Governor's Cup. Let's get into your phone calls here. Anything and everything you want to talk about. The show is called Montana Talks, so you get a chance to be heard across the state. Ken in Billings, first up. Ken, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm going to tell you about, you're talking about Missoula and Bozeman. And I think this has to go with a lot of western Montana. You know what the problem being is? There's real bunch of super people in those areas. But the problem is that we have these communist socialists that want to move from Washington and Oregon and California and God knows where, and they want to come in here and they want to dictate to us what we should do, what we shouldn't do, and everything else. I think it's about time that the good people of Bozeman, of Missoula, Helena, and the Flathead and stuff like that stand up and tell them no.
Yeah.
We're here. And this is the way we do things because we believe in God, we believe in the country, believe in the people, the lower people that can create jobs and everything else, that the hard-working people. We don't need these fascists to come in here and try to, like, move in and say, well, this is the way we do it over here. The hell with you.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, you're outnumbered if you're in – Missoula, you're outnumbered. If you're in the city proper of Bozeman right now, you know, you had all these pre-COVID, I've called them latte liberals from Seattle and San Francisco that moved in. You know, they voted for and ruined those cities. And so they were like, well, why don't we move to like Bozeman and turn it into a mini Seattle? And that's what they're trying to do. I think what we can hope for right now is that if you're one of these people who move now post COVID-19, we've seen a much different type of newcomer. We've seen people who are patriots and they love this country and they support law enforcement. They support our veterans and they finally had enough and they fled California. They fled Washington State and they fled these other places because they finally just had enough. They had to get out of there and the COVID lockdowns and the mask mandates. I mean, I've got a friend, he's from Montana, but he was living out in Seattle and they basically threatened to put his wife in jail because she took her kids to the park outside. And so they said, that's it. We are getting the heck out of here. We're going back home to Montana. And so what we can only hope is that the people who filled Missoula and filled Bozeman and took over the city politics pre-COVID-19, that hopefully they saw the error of their ways and they saw how disastrous those lockdowns were and those mandates were, and they've seen how disastrous the Biden-Harris tester economy has been, and they'll finally turn from voting that direction. I mean, that's what we got to hope for there, or just hope that the rest of us have woken up fully now, heading into November. Let's see. Let's go to Judy and Helena next. Judy, thanks for the call.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Great to hear from you.
Good deal. Aaron, something fun is going to happen in Helena today at noon, and I just want our Helena area listeners, people somewhere around western Montana, please come and join us. 12 o'clock today, we're going to unveil the statue of our former Governor Judy Martz. She was Montana's first and only woman governor. A lovely statue will commemorate her memory and her legacy for all Montanans today. Lunch will be served right after, and it's open to the public. So come and celebrate something good that happened in Montana when we had Judy Martz.
What a woman of faith. What a strong woman. I'm not just talking about her calf muscles because she was an Olympic athlete, right? But just a strong woman of faith. I wish I could be there for it. Dave Galt was telling me about that unveiling that's taking place today. You know, when I was just a butter bar lieutenant in Iraq, I'd go check messages before going out on patrol in Ramadi, Iraq back in 05, 06. And every now and then I'd have a message from Governor Martz just telling me she was praying for me. And when she said she was praying for you, she actually did it. You knew it. It wasn't just a throwaway line.
Oh, boy. Judy walked the walk. She was my good friend. We used to tease each other and say we were the two Judys from Butte. and that's my hometown, too. So I loved her. She was my good friend. She carried me on angel's wings when both my parents passed away, and I just have nothing but love and admiration for this gal. So today we're going to celebrate something good, good for Montana, just good for the people. So if you're out and about today, come by the Capitol. Dave Galt has done a marvelous job pulling all this together.
We got to hold it right there.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah, thanks to Judy and Helena for calling in. And 12 noon. At noon today in the Montana Capitol, she says lunch will be served as well. So they'll have lunch there for everybody if you want to go to the unveiling of the statue in honor of former Montana Governor Judy Martz. So, Judy, thanks for calling in, and very, very nice tribute there. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Looks like we also had a message from LaVon. LaVon wanted to promote Joe Concha's new book. LaVon messaged us and says, Joe Concha has a new book called Aggressively Worse. I think it's Progressively Worse. Why Today's Democrats Ain't Your Daddy's Donkey. I heard Concha talking briefly about that earlier this morning on Fox and Friends. Hey, we'll have to see if Concha can join us on the show one of these days. That'd be fun. Next up on the phone lines, we've got Jim in Great Falls. Jim, I missed you at Tracy's yesterday morning. We had a great time there over brunch yesterday.
Yeah, I would like to come in there, but I didn't want to get out of my air-conditioned bale stacker.
I'll bet. You didn't get hit by hail, did you?
We didn't get any hail. We had some little rains here and there, but it's definitely getting dry in a hurry. My creek dried up, and so now we're pumping water to the animals, and the cracks in the ground are getting a lot bigger, and everybody's getting a little nervous. The grasshoppers are getting bigger.
Oh, the grasshoppers are nasty. What did I hear? Let's see. In eastern Montana, 15-plus grasshoppers per square yard, and then others are reporting 50 hoppers or greater, according to the Montana Farm Bureau.
Yeah, you walk across the dry, just harvested crops and nothing there much. And boy, you hit a patch of green grass and wherever it's at, they just come jumping out of there and the green is going to disappear in a hurry.
Right on, John and Bozeman. He had a really good idea. You know, Kamala Harris doesn't want us eating red meat, beef or lamb. And so, you know, maybe we need a grasshopper catching combine that can catch those grasshoppers and they can eat the bugs that they want us to be eating.
May modify your windshield. You can eat while you go.
That's right. Just scrape them off the front like some honeybees, right?
Yeah. Well, I heard the governor say Glendive was happy about the company coming there. I'm stacking a lot of hay around Lewistown, Moore, and Hobson, and I haven't found a single person yet that's happy with the new big company that's coming to Lewistown. They're all just howling on the amount of houses and people that are coming and how many of them are actually from Bozeman. And so as you've heard me many times say, you know, stay in your own state. You ruined your state, so stay there and fix it. Well, I kind of going to digress now to your own city. Hey, Bozeman, you allowed all that garbage to move in there. So stay there and fix it. Don't come to our town. I mean, my goodness.
It's interesting to gauge the reaction because they're concerned about too much change for, you know, it's like, you know, you want a strong economy, you want growth, but there are people that are concerned about too much change, right? You know, but then the question is there's so many great manufacturers there in the Lewistown area, central Montana, incredible manufacturers. And, you know, what happens if somebody that runs one of those businesses needs to retire one day and then there's no transition plan? And so it's kind of like, you know, it's like, gal, it's like, yeah, you need new business. If you're not growing, you're dying. But I understand that people are nervous about too much change at the same time. But what happens if you lost another one of those two manufacturers and then you got nothing to fill in the gap?
Well, and with all the movement of the people, the price of houses have gone up so much that anybody with really no high education can't afford to live there to work there. And it's like Jackson Hole. I mean, my goodness, the waitress has got to drive from Rexburg or Idaho Falls, where she can afford to live, drive 100 miles to a job that doesn't pay much because you can't afford to live there. And that's what's happening. They're pricing little Montana, little towns in Montana right out. There used to be little old houses, and now they're becoming great big giant castles. And then they put a big archway up and say, my ranch, and all 20 acres of it. And, you know, come on, people, realize what you're doing. When's enough enough? Because the next election comes, and then the next governor, what's he going to do? I'm going to bring more jobs. And there's so many jobs out here right now, and nobody will do them. We cannot find anybody to work in agriculture. Nobody.
Well, and that's another reason why we need to fundamentally reform our property tax system. Because, you know, it's like I was, you know, my family homesteaded near Flathead Lake, and, you know, I went to the street where my great-grandparents lived in Whitefish. And it's like, man, even if we could have held on to that property, you know, back in the 80s or 90s and kept it in the family after my grandparents passed away or something like that, their place right there on Flathead Lake, we'd have been property taxed off it two decades ago, right? And so that's why we got to scrap that whole system and see fundamental reform there. Jim, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Rock, calling in from the middle of nowhere. We got about a minute or so to go. Rock, what's going on?
Hey, I just want to encourage people. You know, I'm on the little town I moved to. I'm back on the fire department. And we've fought four wildland fires so far. All lightning strikes, fortunately. But none of them got in the wheat fields and whatnot around here. But I want to encourage people, get out there and volunteer for this, whatever it is. You know, even if it's run for school board, do something.
Do something.
Get off your butt. And do something. I'm 74 years old, and I'm out there fighting fire.
And you've served in other capacities. Yeah, you. Well, I remember when you'd call in from Belgrade, and folks, did you notice he didn't tell you which town he's calling in from now? He doesn't want that secret to get out. But no, Rock, thanks again. I mean, he served as a firefighter before. He's stepping up to volunteer a firefight once again. Just get out there and do something. No, appreciate that. And thanks for your